1974 is one of the phases of Cyprus conflict, but I have lived all the phases, I think, and all my generation also, most of them, lived all the phases. So I would like to start from, maybe it was 1958 or 9, I cannot tell the date, because I was born in 1955 in Lino. And soon after that, my father was registered as a policeman, and we had to move as family to Paphos. So I spent the first 7 years of my life in Paphos, and the very first memory of me was knocking on the door after the preschool session. And it was a little bit late, my mother was a little bit late to open the door, and there was the scream bells of the police car. It was a curfew, and everybody had to be in the homes. It was the English policeman car, and we had to be inside. I knew that in my very young age, I knew that it is forbidden to be outside when you hear that noise. So I was knocking, and I now even I can remember my heartbeats, that I was so frightened until my mother opened the door. And later there was these troubles between Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriots also in the Paphos district, and 1958 and 9, in those periods. And just before the Cyprus Republic. And there was another incident, and some of the Turkish Cypriot homes were burned. And afterwards, immediately there was some places to rescue the goods, etc. But I have a memory again from that year. Since some of my childhood photographs was burned, and which we could manage to have them, they have the burning edge bit. So it is a memory from all my childhood until now. And after I was grown up, I always remember this memory, and I promised myself to work very hard to reach a peace in Cyprus in order to protect my children and the other generations to have these kind of bitter experiences. And after we were in Paphos, later my father asked to be sent to our villages district. And there was a police station very close to Lino. It was Evrihu, and he was sent to Evrihu as the only Turkish Cypriot policeman out of 20 policemen's station. And it took us 1.5 years to live there, and I started to go to school again in Lino. I studied the first year of elementary school in Paphos, and the second year in Lino. At the beginning of my third year in elementary school, we had again the troubles in 1963 this time. And it was a mixed village. Lino was a mixed village. It is a very nice place in the valley where the Karkot River also runs, etc. I love the smell especially of my village. But we had to live again. And we left to Lefka, and again one day there was flames behind the mountain, and all the people from our village, of course they knew where the flame was coming because of the geographic place, they said our houses are burning. So again, in Lino, we were living in Lefka, we left the village, the houses were okay when we left, After 1 month or 2 months, they burned it. Our villagers or somebody else came and burned them, I don't know. We cannot say that our neighbors did this. Maybe there were somebody else, fanatics, we can say. They came, but the Greek Cypriots, unfortunately. They burned the homes. So after a while, after 63, there were some better days that some of the villages turned back to their homes. But we couldn't because there wasn't any home. Some villages went back after 63 events. In 67, 8, they went back. But we didn't have that opportunity. The Greek Cypriots were insulting or attacking the Turkish Cypriots because we were the first family to move because, as I said, my father was the only policeman. So his friends from Lefka station called him to immediately come back because they heard some incidences that the only Turkish Cypriot policemen were shot and some Greek Cypriot policemen were shot somewhere. So the troubles were started already. There were very few incidences, but first they called back the policemen that were only in those stations to rescue them. In any case, if there would be something bad. In the area, I think my father was the only Turkish Cypriot policeman registered to the government. So it is a mountain area, so nobody wants to go and work there. But my father wanted to work because it is only 1 mile away from our village. It was very good for him. And we went actually to Lefka in order to go back very early because in the news, etc., it was mentioned that, it is going to be solved very quickly. But we had to stay 11 years until 74 in Lefka as refugee. I am a refugee from 1963. And in 1974, I was in Lefka. And I was actually at the first year's holiday of my university degree. Just when I came for the holiday, there was war. It was summer. I was studying in Middle East Technical University in Ankara. First, there was the coup in 15th of January, July. And first we were thinking maybe it is not related with us. But afterwards, there were some attacks also to the Turkish Cypriot villages. And in the 20th, there was this big war. We heard that it was from those people who made the coup. We didn't have that attack, for example, in Lefka, but we heard that there was some attacks also the Turkish Cypriots.
Did you know Turkish Cypriots who were...
No, I don't know, because affected. We were living in Lefka, and in those years there were 6 cantons of Turkish Cypriots, and Lefka was one of them. So in Lefka there wasn't any Greek Cypriot. It was only Turkish Cypriot. And on the 20th, when Turkey landed in Kyrenia, first it was announced at the radio that Turkey is now here to restore the government again, to bring the peace to the Republic, because Makarios was off from his duty, etc. And for a few moments we thought that, well, it is not going to be anything with us. But immediately, unfortunately, the Greek Cypriots began to attack the town as well. And Lefka is also in a valley, and there are very high mountains out there. and it is very easy to attack the town. So after a while, there were fire guns also, fire bombs, and it is all the grape and orange yards, so they began to burn. And the army person said that all the people are going to die, so let us say that we are prisons, war prisons. So they put the white flag, and Lefka was settled to the Greek Cypriots. And we stayed for 16 or 17 days until the second operation. And in some hours, there were some jets passing through, but no operation on the other parts, other than the Kyrenia part where they landed, because afterwards we read that it was extremely difficult for them to reach all the parts because they had to concentrate on those parts in order to land, so they couldn't help us. So and we put the white flag, and Lefka was war prison, and the Greek Cypriots, it was, I think, on purpose. We heard that there were Greek soldiers also, the high-level commanders from Greece, but they didn't send the Greek soldiers inside the town. It was all Greek Cypriots. So we knew some of them. For example, some of them were from our villages. And I think this was a good thing, and there wasn't any bloodshed when they came into the town. It was extremely bad. It was very, very sad experience. We had to say bye-bye to my father, because when they came to take us over, they said women will be in one side and men will be in another side. And we had to say bye-bye because we didn't know what will happen. Maybe, most probably, they were going to kill at least the men. So we said bye-bye forever to each other. It was very sad experience. My father, I am the only child, so I was with my mother. We said bye-bye to my father. And we came out of the cinema, because we were gathered in the cinema of the town. And we got out of the cinema, and the soldiers were leading us to the mosque. And the first woman who reached to the mosque, they saw that it was burning. So immediately they remembered the trauma of Rhodos or Kirit, I don't remember which was it. It is written on the history books that some of the Turkish people living there were burned in a mosque. So everybody was very frightened that they are going to repeat the same thing for us. We are going to be burned in the mosque. And everybody was crying, etc. And I have a memory, for example, there. It was my turn to get out of the cinema and go to the mosque. And there were jet planes passing through. And I said, jet is uçak in Turkish. I said, uçak, with a hope. Of course, you want to be rescued. And the soldier said, uçak muçak eneşi barpada. So okay. I learned a few words from Greek language on that day. Well, they changed the venue, and nothing happened to the people, except some of the civil persons also, while the bomb was firing. We had five women who were killed, some men also in the army places, etc. But it was 11 or 12, I don't know. Before it was too many, actually, Lefka was war prison. So we stayed for 16 or 17 days until the second operation. They took us over at the center of the town, and later they sent us to our homes. first the women and children, and later also the men. Later we were at our homes and we stayed in our homes. We cooked our meal, we ate, etc. And the only bad thing I remember on those days was that when it was the lunch time or dinner time, there was gunfire. And we couldn't eat. I was very frightened, I think, on those days. And after 16 days, it was the second operation, and the operation first started towards Famagusta. And we were in Defta, and by the mid of the first day, we saw the photographs and films of the masquerade in Murata and Atlılar, that the Turkish Cypriots were killed and put in the same grave, 20 or 30 of them. And I was thinking that same thing will happen to us as well, because I could never imagine that they will leave us alive and go back, because the radio was saying that the operation will end in 2 days, and the place will be, the ending point will be Famagusta in east and Lefka in west, and it will be over. We shall not continue. Lefka was going to be part of the Turkish Cypriot part, and it was it. It will end there and end in Famagusta. And everything continued very quickly. It was over. The first day they were in Famagusta. The second day, the radio was saying that they are coming to Lefka, but there wasn't any noise, especially in the afternoon because they gave also a time at 6 p.m. It will be over. Everything will be, the Turkey promised to the international community that it will be over. And we were trying to see what is going on. Of course, we were all hidden in the houses or in the gardens, etc. And we were behind a house where it was in a garden in our neighbor's house. Because since my father was also a policeman, he was registered. They knew that he was policeman, and we thought that he will be definitely be a prisoner of war, because they were collecting all the men from houses and taking them to Limassol, to the camp. Okay. In that day, while the Turkish army were approaching. And it was also, for example, our neighbor's son was taken, and in one day the mother's, all the hair and eyebrows, etc., became white. It is the first time I saw something like that. But she was saying that I was crying, saying, please don't take my son, etc. And the boy, Greek Cypriot boy, was also crying and saying, the soldier, I mean, he was saying, I have to take your son because my brother is also a prisoner of war. So we are going to give them back and to get them. So there was all these bitter experiences of these people. And at last, in some part, I remember that we had to go to our home to get something. And it was on the main road. And when I entered to the house, there I saw again, like in my childhood memory, there was a police car coming from the corner. And immediately I went inside and closed the door, and the car came and stopped in front of our home. And I didn't know what to do, but there were English, there were screamings in English. And it was United Nations soldiers actually saying that, open your doors, open your windows, the Turkish army is here. Go and meet them. First, we didn't believe, and later we saw that it is true. We went and meet them. And for example, in those years also, I was a peace activist. And I remember myself to be very happy, because it was something related with my fear of being dead, or my fear of my families or the loved ones to be dead. But of course, after that, I knew that it was not the fault of the only Turkish Cypriots or Greek Cypriots that all these troubles began and continued and be like this. So always I continued to work for very hard for peace. And in 1974, we became a refugee once again, for the second time. The first time our home was burned, but we moved to a temporary home until it was mended. If I don't consider that, it was the second time. The second time is from Lefka to Morfu, because we had to move again to, this time, to a Greek Cypriot home. And it was a bitter, very bitter experience again, because since we lived this situation in 63, we knew how it feels to leave your family, leave your house and go away. And especially for my father, I was a university student by that time, so I didn't stay in that home for a long time. But when I came for the holidays, I remember that it was extremely difficult for me to sleep in that home. And
so your father and your mother were living in the home.
Yeah, and my father was again policeman in those years, and I remember that he was saying, he asked his commander, the person in charge, to put him only to the night shift, not to work on day shift, because in the day shift they had to go to patrol the Greek Cypriot villages, and they couldn't bear to see those sceneries, that the houses were open, left, and the people left everything and went, because he immediately lived the same situation in 63. As he remembered the own experience, and he couldn't say good for them. And they lived for, until now, they are still living in Morfu. And I have another memory again, very interesting and emotional for me. And it is about the openings of the gate.
Okay.
Openings of the gates. As you know, suddenly one day the gates were opened, and the people immediately start to go and come forward and backward. And especially the Greek Cypriots, they went back to their homes. Before 30 years, which they left. And it was really very emotional and shocking to see that almost all the Turkish Cypriots kept all the photographs of the families, the owners of their homes. And they didn't even tell to each other that they did this. And they didn't tear up or burn the photographs. They kept them, but they didn't say anything. Maybe they thought that it would be harmful for them. Maybe the authorities will say that they are Greek Cypriot friends, etc. So they didn't say, but they didn't tear up. And almost all the Turkish Cypriots who knocked the door of their homes, they found some memories of themselves, and especially the photographs. And I remember, for example, our shop is very close to Litra Palace checkpoint. It was the only checkpoint open on those days. And I even saw one woman holding his bride suite with her.
She found her.
She found. And some of them holding her bride photographs with their frames on them. And after this event, in 1 month's time, we were in a peace conference again with another friend in Prague. And I was sharing the room with a Greek Cypriot friend of mine. And she asked me, "Canan, I want to ask you something. Is it something related with your religion that the photographs shouldn't be teared up? Or did the authorities give this command to the people that you have to keep all these photographs?" Because I was very surprised to see that nearly all the families found their pictures in the homes. All the Turkish Cypriots gave the pictures. And I said, "No, none of them is true. It is not in the religion, and it was not a command of the authorities." But I think I said, since the Turkish Cypriots lived this situation before, they knew how it feels to leave everything behind of you and go away and to have no history of your life. I think it is because of that. And really, I was very proud to see this humanity between the families. And still, there are many families who are very connected to each other with the same home, with the same house, to become home of two families. It is the connection point for them. And I see or hear that they go to picnic, they go even to holiday abroad, to Turkey, to Greece, together. So, I was very hopeful when the gates were opened that this friendship would nourish and the people together will find a solution very easily. Unfortunately, the 2003 referendum was an upset for us because, you know, the Turkish Cypriots said a very big yes and the Greek Cypriots said a very big no. So, it maybe the time was not enough for the Greek Cypriots to see that there are good opportunities also in the Annan plan, that in a time it will be better, it can be revisited and improved, some of the items. But it couldn't be realized, and now the situation is again very difficult. The demography in North is changing, and I hope this will be our last chance or a good chance that these negotiations are still continuing and there is this willingness of United Nations and EU to solve the problem. I hope it will be solved and our children and grandchildren will live in a better condition. Because Cyprus is a very beautiful island. We love our island, we love our country, both Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots. We have a lot of common ways. We love kebab, souvlaki, we love
baklava
and
coffee,
and we like dancing, music, we have the similar dances, music, etc. So we can manage to share this beautiful island. And it is not the problem of tightness. It can fit all of us, actually. But mainly it is, again, an international problem. Unfortunately, the geographic place is a handicap for us. If, for example, recently there was a very interesting art exhibition, and one of our artists imagined Cyprus in a very district part of ocean. So if it was there, how our lives would be? Nobody could know us, and nobody would care what we were doing here. So I think it is up to the Cypriots to come together and work together to have a future, better future for all of us. Another obstacle is that people do not foresee the future very much. The person I remember in this bicommunal work who foresee the problem very well was Lordos, Father Lordos. I was in one of the conferences of the businessmen associations, and he was one of the speakers, and he was saying that, well, we have to use the power of money and trade to solve this problem, because money doesn't have a nationality and it doesn't consider any barrier. So if we learn to gain from each other, it will be also a tool for us to reach to peace. And I remember one of the Greek, another Greek Cypriot businessman, very rich man, I don't remember his name now, he asked a question to him. May I ask you something? Yes. Are you considering also the settlers to have trade with? Because you said, all of us have to make trade in order to nourish the peace between us. And when you say all, do you consider also settlers, he said, with accusation towards him. And he stopped for a moment and said, well, my friend, if we continue with this mind of yours, in a very near future, as we say now, the big majority of Cyprus population is Greek Cypriot, and in the second part it is Turkish Cypriot, so they are the second citizens. In that period, the Greek Cypriots will become the second citizens, and the Turkish Cypriots will become third, and those people that you are saying settlers will become first. So it was a very good notation, and I am afraid that the day is approaching. I am afraid that in a few years' time there wouldn't be any politicians on the table from Turkish Cypriots, because in the elections everything will be changed. I worry about democratics, but on the other hand, Since I am working for the Human Rights Foundation, and I am reading a lot about the human rights, it's a very wide area, and actually it is the right of those people also to live here, because it was also considered in Annan Plan that about 50,000 of them were going to stay here, because there are many, many, many of them who were born here. They don't know any of the Turkish towns of their family back in Turkey. Never. They haven't been there. They consider themselves as Turkish Cypriot. But for example, there are mixed marriages, many. And now their children cannot get a Cyprus Republic passport, for example. They come, a lot of them, to Human Rights Foundation to make this application that their human rights are violated because their mothers or fathers are Turkish Cypriot, born in Limassol, Baf, etc. But they cannot get. And you know, this is not only the demographic change of North. It will be, and it is, the demographic change of South as well. Because, for example, the government started to give some of them the IDs, the mixed marriages. For example, the girls We have two girls working with us, two lawyers. One of is from a mixed marriage. The other is her father and mother is from Turkey, but she was born here. All her education here. And for example, for the first time, there is this educational support from EU to the Turkish Cypriot students. And for the first time, she was also considered as Turkish Cypriot since she was born here and educated all here. And now she is a lawyer, 25 years old. Now, what shall we call her? Turkish? She doesn't know anything about Turkey. So this is against human rights. So European Union had to approve that she is a Turkish Cypriot and she has the right to apply to the scholarship, and she got the scholarship. So in time, the Lorda's sentence can be a reality. So we have to work hard in order to reach a valuable and long-lasting solution. It become a vicious circle because people keep coming, and since we couldn't put a dot on Annan Plan, it was a very, very good opportunity for us, because the persons who were here, it was a measure also. There was some, maybe for 15 years if they were here, or if they had a child born here. There was some measures. Everybody was not going to stay again. But since that dot wasn't there, now it is almost 10 years after that, and there are more people coming and staying here, and now they are saying that we are here for 10 years and you don't give us ID. Now it is stopped for the recent 8 years. There hasn't been any person who became citizen of North. Everybody said that it should stop because the sources cannot feed everybody in North. There was a very nice apple in front of the Greek Cypriots that they were going to become a member of EU, and they had the right to become a member of EU without Turkish Cypriots. If the question asked to them was, you are going to become a member of EU after a solution, they would be more eager to have a common way. At least they were going to struggle more to change some of the subjects so that it will be good for referendum to have a say. But the president in that time from the Greek Cypriots, he didn't consider too much to make it better for Greek Cypriots, because he said, even though they say no, we are going to be part of you, it doesn't matter. Let us start from here and we shall have the North by force of law. But it didn't come through like that. And especially at the last decision one of the decisions of the Human Rights Court in Europe, it mentioned that the second generation of the houses don't have any losses from the house. It is something like that. Because there was an application from the children of the family that they have these memories, etc., in the home, and they have to be paid for this. And the decision was, I think it was Domopoulos' decision, and it mentioned that we cannot consider the children also having this attachment and want to the house. On the other hand, we have to consider the other family also living for 30 years in that home, even though they are not the owner, they have also this attachment to this home. So it became more and more complicated to solve this problem, because some of the decisions of the court is very good for Greek Cypriots. Some of the decisions are good for Turkish Cypriots or Turkey, actually. In these cases, it is the Turkey. I became, at the end of June, we didn't know if something was going to happen. Immediately the coup happened. We heard, of course, when we came here, we heard that there were troubles in South, there were troubles between them. But we didn't think that it was going to be developed like this. By Iraq, we had Turkish Cypriot radio. So but my father was listening to BBC, RIC, etc. because he knows very well Greek and English as well.
You mentioned Makarios. So he was considered to be the president of everyone? Or did you, like Turkish Cypriots, consider Makarios to be
in the Republic time?
Yes.
No, it was president of everybody, and Dr. Küçük was vice president of everybody. It was very normal for us, this division, because we were kept in enclaves. In order to drive to Lefkosia, we had to be searched in three centers on the way to from Lefka, when you go just outside Lefka, and in Astromelites, and again and at the entrance of Lefkosia.
I see.
So it was normal for us to have two different authorities. We didn't have any connection, and we didn't have any behavior towards from the policemen or the authorities that we were also part of them. They were behaving us like a rebel or enemy. So I was a child first. Later I grow up, and I saw this very normal to be apart, since we don't love each other, since we are enemies. We have to live apart, I was thinking. Later, when I developed my political views, I could realize and analyze the situation better.
The camp in Limassol, so for, that was for where they were taking Turkish Cypriots. Were they holding them there for a long time? Do you know, of anyone who was...
Yes, my father-in-law was there. They were kept for 5 months, something like that. It was a long time. After a while, there was a communication, I think, through United Nations. They were sending letters back and forth, and they were sending messages to radio, and radio was reading them that they were alive.
So what is a good solution that you see to this problem?
I see a federation as a good solution, to have a federation where... I liked very much the Annan Plan. It was very balanced for me, because there was opportunity for the Greek Cypriots who couldn't bear to stay away from their home to come back, even though it was a lesser proportion to north. And there was the same opportunity to the Turkish Cypriots who cannot live without. And they are very little, actually, because recently I read a article about the results of a poll conducted, and it says that very few people insist on going and living, but they insist on their rights, that they are owners, so they can have exchange, they can have the money, etc. So this is a very powerful way of the Cyprus problem. We can use this tool to reach a solution. The Greek Cypriot has to know that the main say in the south, especially for the localities, is for them. And the Turkish Cypriot will have the say in north, at least for the localities, religion, etc. So, but for the international relations and the country, will be only one. And I don't think that it will be a problem for the Turkish Cypriots mainly, because they are already using this opportunity of holding the passport because it is their right to have that.